we'll get started. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather together and open your word. Please open our hearts and minds as we do that, and help us be able to understand what we read and be able to apply it to our lives, and also share it with others so they also can come in and know you and be looking forward to so much that you tell us about in your word. Thank you so much for it. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word beauty, in Luke chapter 24, we'll look at verses 36 through 53 here. Verse 36, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So he appeared to them in a room that was closed, locked. Verse 37, "But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit, because he materialized right there in front of them. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them." So in an interesting way, he displayed this to them. He showed them that he materialized in a body that was physically able to consume food. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." So Luke condenses all this together from this appearance. He was around some 40 days. He ascended up to the Father. And then 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, he sends them the Holy Ghost, which gives them that power that he just spoke of there. We'll get into that a little bit later when we get into Acts. But right now, let's go into John and see another account of the beautiful creation in John chapter 1. Here we see and have described Jesus Christ as the Word and as being the one who spoke everything into existence. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Of course, in the King James Version, you see the Word spelled with a capital W, because indicating that that is a name, and indicating that that is, of course, Jesus Christ, because as we continue reading, you see it is described as Jesus Christ. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." See, that one makes it very clear. Jesus Christ is the one who spoke everything into existence, known as the Word. So in the Old Testament, almost every time, not every time, but almost every time you hear or see it said, God said, or God said, or the Lord spoke, it's actually Jesus Christ doing the audible speaking. The actual speaking is Jesus Christ, because he is the word, the spoken word of God. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Further descriptions and letting us know that he's speaking of Jesus Christ himself, being the Word, being the one who spoke everything into existence, being the third part of the Trinity, the third part of God. Now on over to John chapter 3, we see the beautiful words that are quoted so often, John 3:16, but let's pick it up in John 3 verse 1, and we'll see how this all flows together here. And these are definitely beautiful words of hope. All right, in John chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, Nicodemus was just thinking in the physical world, not thinking spiritually. He was not of the knowledge of knowing that he was spiritually dead. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Of course, being born of water is having a natural or a human birthing, to be born in human form. And it says, and of the Spirit, to be born of the Spirit. So that's the two ways that you must be born. You say, why does it bother saying that you have to be born as a human? Because salvation did not come to the angels. Forgiveness did not come to the angels. When they messed up, that was it. There wasn't no, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned, available for the angels. Because the ones that messed up were cast out. And we'll wind up in eternity in the lake of fire. But to the man, mankind, he has offered a chance to be born again. As he explains, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So that's how you know what he's talking about in verse 5, where he says, born of the water and born of the Spirit. Verse 6, born of the flesh and born of the Spirit. He clarifies it, so there's no question about it. But yet you have people that have taken this verse 5 out of context and say, okay, being born of the water means being baptized. No, it doesn't. Got nothing to do with baptism. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's, of course, a reference to him being raised up and crucified. that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those are beautiful words right there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Given us the hope, given us the opportunity to become a joint heir with Jesus Christ, become part of the family, to become spiritually alive, as he continues in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Awesome, beautiful words of the Lord, given us that hope of eternity, given us that confidence of knowing that he loves us so much that he did what he did for us on the cross, died for us, paid the price of all sin, past, present, and future. He promises us a home in heaven in John chapter 14. When you become born again, you can look forward to being with the Lord forever. And in John chapter 14, verse 1, he gives us a little bit of information about what he has prepared for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Awesome words. Beautiful mansions that we have to look forward to, and that we will be with him. As it says, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that is something that is going to be beautiful beyond our wildest imagination, to be able to be with the Lord, the one who has the ability to speak everything in the entire cosmos into existence by utterly just making the words, speaking it out, and it appearing, and he's going to prepare a place for us where he's going to be. So you know if it's going to be a place that he's going to stay for eternity, it is going to be something amazing beyond what we could possibly imagine. And over in Acts chapter 1, we see the beautiful event of the ascension of Jesus Christ as he ascends up to heaven. On that day, 10 days before Pentecost, pick it up in Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. One little side note I'll throw in here. This O Theophilus, like, who was Theophilus? I haven't heard of him before. I don't see him in here anywhere. Well, the word Theophilus actually means a student of the Lord, someone who wants to learn. Another way of saying a disciple, a person who wants to learn about the Lord. And this book of Acts is believed to have been written by Luke, who was a physician, so he was big into these long words and so forth. So every once in a while he throws one in there. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. That's beautiful words right there. Many infallible proofs after his death, burial, and resurrection by many infallible proofs. He was seen. He was seen of over 500 at one time. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days he stayed around after ascending up out of that grave and continued to teach and to preach, do miraculous things in front of them. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And that had to be a beautiful sight to see. To see the Lord just ascend right on up into heaven. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Letting us know about how he's going to return, the image of him returning, as we have scriptures that we'll be reading here shortly about how he comes back to receive us. Verse 12. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And 10 days later, we jump over to chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And from that point forward, they were all indwelt with the Holy Spirit, giving them gifts, giving them abilities to perform miracles by the power of God. And it was a transformation that took place in them, making them bold, making them very, very effective at the task that the Lord had given them to do. And that was to spread the gospel. All right, now look at some more in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some more of the beautiful experience that we have to look forward to. This one I use quite often in sermons for funerals because there's so much hope in these, so much beauty in this, so much to look forward to that it's uplifting to read this, especially if you're sitting there with some aches or pains right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's pick it up in verse 51. It'll be 51 through 58. Which, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now this term sleep is, won't be dead, won't be staying dead, won't be, because when a Christian dies, it talks about them sleeping, because basically they're just moving, coming out of their body. They don't die, because Christians live forever. Be separated from the body, but in that, the body is sleeping, is what he's speaking of here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that's how quickly we will be changed. And this word corruptible means a body that decays, falls apart, breaks down, has aches and pains and problems. We won't have that anymore. We'll have a glorified body instantly, in that moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And he continues about this event in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, pick it up in verse 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. See, once again, he talks about them being asleep, which is usually the reference that they make. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now his coming back, returning, is going to be in a similar manner as we saw in Acts about how he ascended up into the clouds. And this word will not prevent. If you go back to the early use of the word prevent in the 1611 English, it means not to proceed before. So we will not go before. If you are alive when this event takes place, those that have passed away prior to that event will receive their glorified body before we that are alive when this event takes place will receive. That's what he's speaking of. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, those are definitely beautiful words. To know that he's going to come back and get us and give us a glorified body so quickly that it's going to be like a moment in the twinkling of an eye. In 1 John chapter 3, just two verses here. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So that's a clue of how we're going to be in that incorruptible, immortal body. We will be like Jesus Christ. So people kind of wonder, well, what is that going to be like? Is it going to be like that reference that we read earlier about he was able to eat? Are we going to be able to eat things with our new glorified body? We don't know. Because it clearly says there, we don't know. If that was exactly what it was going to be like, then they would have given us a description of what we were going to be like for eternity. Will we want to eat? Will we need to eat? I don't think we're going to need to eat. Will we have the option to eat if we want to? I don't know that either. Scripture really doesn't tell us. But we know that we're going to be like Jesus Christ, and however he wants to be for eternity, that's going to be way beyond what we could imagine to be the best way to be. So that's what we got to hold on to and know, that it, you could come up and imagine the very best you could possibly come up with, and that ain't even going to be close. But that's all the time we have. We'll go ahead and close now. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. All of them are beautiful, all the way from the beginning through to the end. Help us to always have a burning desire to dig deep into the scriptures, to see the beauty of your word and to see the beauty of your creation, even in this cursed world that we're in. And help us to look forward to the beauty that you have in store for us for eternity, way beyond what we can imagine. We thank you so much for that. Encourage us to spread the gospel so that more can be looking forward to that as well. And lead God and direct us always that everything we do, everything that we say, everywhere that we go, that we can bring honor and glory to you, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.